I am Digital Dave.
And I'm still Fast Eddie.
Well, that's debatable. The fast part, anyway.
Well, I'm old, you know.
And joining us. Dun, 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 dun,
I was going to say, what we need now is the theme from Jaws.
There you go. No, he's not that. It's Bob Perterman from the Air Force. And this is recruiting civilian personnel, which I didn't realize the Air Force used that many civilian personnel.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, guys. We do. Matter of fact, we're here representing Air Force Materiel Command. The command itself has about 47% of all civilians in the entire Air Force. So it's mostly a civilian organization, right? So a lot of engineers, scientists, you know, PhDs everywhere, logistical people, cyber, you name it, folks that work on munitions, all the things that help organize, train, and equip the whole Air Force.
So it's a lot more than just depot operations and shipping stuff back and forth.
Correct. Right. I mean, so I'm here representing the Air Force Lifecycle Management Center this week. It's a huge organization, and every, you know, the AFMC has six big centers, and everyone can say they're super important, but really together they make up the entire, you know, on how we support the entire Air Force. The way LCMC works is if the research laboratory gets, you know, an idea, they put it together, they build a prototype, you know, they test it, and they figure out what it is and what they need to do. And then if they decide they want to field that, the Air Force does, Lifecycle Management Center comes out and they work the logistics on how to procure it, you know, how to service it, you know, and do all the depot work on the backside, and so to maintain it through its through the whole life cycle of that system, whether it's a weapon, an aircraft, a uniform, or whatever that is.
So you probably have some guys that have spent their entire career on the B-52 alone, because that thing is still flying.
Absolutely, and it's great seeing that tail out there.
Yeah, I'm shocked it still has its original engines. I would have thought you'd have upgraded it to newer, more efficient engines by now.
There are plans ongoing right now to re-engine those, more efficient, more powerful, those types of things, and more efficient.
Yeah, and quieter.
Well, maybe. The one thing that they're really looking for, I believe, is the fuel economy and parts availability. It's got to be tough getting engines for those B-52s these days.
Well, one of the things that's out there is, you know, they use a lot of 3D printing, right? So they can grab an old part, bring it into a warehouse, put it on the scanner, you know, print it, and then put it back on the plane.
Okay. Right? So now, is that something you're doing completely in-house, or are you working with manufacturers to build your spares?
So I'm at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in outside of Dayton, and we do have in-house capability on the base to do that. Okay. And so other organizations across the enterprise have that same capability.
Okay. Let's talk about what the real reason you're here. What do I have to do to be a civilian to work for you?
You have to apply for a job.
That's it?
That's it.
And I have to have some sort of talent.
Absolutely. Do you have talent?
Not really.
Okay. Well,
that's why we're here.
I left it at home where it's safe.
Right. That's fine. Yeah. So, you know, in addition, we've got a really big recruiting presence here. But more importantly, on our side, because we're such a civilian-heavy organization, it's a big deal. And, you know, we're fighting for the private sector for those positions, for those people that provide those capabilities, you know, that we need, you know, to build the Air Force for the future. Just at Wright-Patterson, you know, there's thousands of jobs. They hold job fairs. I went to one in Fairborn right outside the gate. You know, there was 4,000 people showed up for jobs, right?
Did you get hired?
Fortunately, I was hired before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. But it's important because, you know, without those folks, you know, we have people doing triple duty and some things, you know, don't get done. But really, it is a great way to earn a living, right? For me, you know, I retired, but I still had a sense to service. So I jumped in and got in as a civilian job, and I love it, right? And it's a great way to start a career, even for the young, you know, the young folks coming out of college, you know, get an internship and get in and get a career. You get a career right off the bat, right? And so there's programs where, you know, as a new graduate, you come out of school, and then you get a job where you get promoted every year for 3 years, right? So at the end of the 3 years, you're fully qualified, but you've already gone through three promotions, right? Guaranteed.
Not too shabby.
No, not too shabby at all. And the benefits are great.
And I imagine being as you're working with your cutting edge stuff, you get to work on some really cool things that you're not allowed to talk about.
Well, right. Yeah, there's some of that.
Oh, yeah.
There's some of that.
I hope so.
Well, you know, one of the other things that people worry about these days is job security. I imagine you have a lot of it there.
No issues. Right. I'm not worried about anything. And I think, again, with the number of people that we have to hire, it's important what we're doing. Right. Because, you know, we have aging infrastructure. We have aging airframes. You know, we got to build for the future, right? You saw some of that yesterday when you see the F-35 out there.
Yeah.
You know, and we're still flying the B-52, you know, that was built in the 60s, maybe even the 50s.
50s, right? I thought late 50s.
Yeah.
And I saw F-15s. I thought those were all retired.
Right, and we got a brand new one sitting out there. The first EX, right?
Huh. Wow.
Wait a minute, brand new F-15s? Cool.
F-15 EX. So yeah, that's, if you look at the tail number, it's the first version that came off the line at in St. Louis where they built it.
Nice.
I didn't even know they were still building them.
I didn't either. I know it flew back in 1972.
Oh yeah.
Back when we were a little younger.
Yeah. Yep.
So how important is it to preserve your tribal knowledge within the organization when you're bringing new guys in? You got to interface them with the experienced crew that's already there that's thinking about retiring and stuff like that.
Oh, for sure. The continuity is huge, right? When you have you do the changing of the guard, and, you know, I think about that now. I'm getting to the point where it's time for me to turn it over to the next group. You know, leave that legacy, leave that the knowledge base with the folks coming up, right? But the great thing about bringing folks in, too, is that over time you get stuck in a certain mindset, right? You've done it all, and it's the same thing day in, day out. New folks that come in that don't necessarily have Air Force experience, they bring new ideas, fresh ways of doing things, and give you a different lens to look through and how to accomplish the job, right? And so it's awesome, right? As I got a pretty big team back at RIPAT, and we have different levels of experience, and I think when we bring all those experiences together, and this is really just a micro example, but you make everything better, right? Because you have a flurry of ideas that come through, and you actually find the really good solution to make something happen.
Right. There's no monopoly on inspiration.
No, none.
It comes from everywhere.
Correct.
Sounds like a great place to work.
It does. Well, you know, brain drain is something that is happening a lot because when people retire.
Especially at this end of the table.
Especially at this end of the table, yes.
But, oh, I'm at the same table. Yeah.
Yeah, you're at the better end.
Yeah.
But the thing of it being is, it's that folklore knowledge. You know, I'm hoping that you guys have a way of passing that on to the next generation, either in the form of written manuals or
endless
videos.
Meetings.
Yeah, endless meetings.
Right. It's all there. I mean, again, in the manuals, everything's there. The people change, but the mission doesn't, right? So when one person goes out, the next person steps up. You know, that's the mentality. And it's worked what I've seen in my 33 years of doing this. And it's been a pretty good ride. One of the things I like about being here, I was in the air show business for a bit. I served on the Thunderbirds.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Nice.
And, you know, I was heard about coming to Oshkosh, right? Thunderbirds don't really perform here, right? But having my team here yesterday with me that work with me every day, you know, they got to experience something that I think is very important, you know, as, you know, you look at all the Air Force people, because we brought 200 people here with us from all over the country, you know, representing Air Force Materiel Command. But the importance of shows like this is that we get to showcase all the things that we're talking about, you know, all the folks that do the job, you know, take an oath, serve the country and do this. It's so important. And the other thing, too, that's really big is the American taxpayer. The American taxpayer, you know, gets to see where their money's going.
Right. Right.
And it's so valuable. And yesterday was a great experience. First time I've ever really seen the F-35 fly, and I've never really seen an F-22 demo. So to me, as an air show guy, super cool.
How about the Heritage flight, though, when you see them to slow down?
Man, that was, I've never seen that before, right? And I've probably done 200-something air shows. That was awesome. Right, something I'll always take with me. I didn't have time to take photos, but I'm living going to be lived through my photographer, you know, on my memories, because he's doing a good job taking those photos.
He's your stand-in.
Yeah, right.
So you guys are the power behind the crown. That's the only term I can think of. It's the old poem about every airplane you see in the sky, there's a mechanic on the ground.
Right.
So that's you guys.
Yep. Kind of the people behind the green curtain.
Right.
Helping the wizard work.
So I imagine you spent a lot of time negotiating spares contracts and things, too, once you identified a need for a certain part.
Absolutely. Contracting is a huge piece. There's a lot of contracting folks, right? And to ensure that we're following compliance, regulations, legal, whatever we need to do, there is a huge footprint for the contracting piece.
All right.
And then after that, hopefully the part, when you get it, works.
Oh, I'm sure they've had all sorts of discussions on that matter.
Yeah, we're pretty good at testing stuff. It's
it's not the right color. Send it back.
It wouldn't be a good thing to send out something that's a clunker, a known clunker.
Right. I'm trying to think of an example of a clunker that we've sent out, but I don't have any. I don't have any.
Those are conveniently forgotten.
Yeah.
All right, I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Bob Perteman of the Civilian Air Force, I want to say department, but
Civilian
it's obviously not that.
Civilian personnel recruiting.
Wow. He's more than just the recruiter.
That's right.
He's doing it. He's keeping them up there.
He's helping.
He's winding the rubber bands. All right,
you need
this
your
is Digital
band
Dave.
Wound up. And I'm Fast Eddie. Good grief.
And this is EAA Radio.